Too fucking hard there, like always. Woo wee, what it do, what it do? What's up, my cannibals? We're back at it again with the part two episode of our Into LSD Blunt Report. It's gonna be a fucking doozy. We've already been talking about the origins of LSD, how it came to be, and how the first time somebody even fucking ingested LSD, Mr. Albert Hoffman. We also went over the first official day that he actually ingested LSD. I believe 250 micrograms. Damn. That's fucking, that's solid right there. That's adventurous. We also spoke about the couple people in history and in these great minds that actually took LSD and benefited from it. So in this second half, we will be talking about how the CIA had a hand in using this fucking thing as a mind control substance. Also, we are going to be talking about microdosing. Now, we're going to explain what microdosing is. We're going to break it down on how to microdose on LSD, because it's not the same thing as shrooms and shit. So we're going to be talking about that and some other shit in between. Also, at the end of this podcast, I will be dropping some acid. Half a tab, of course, but I will be dropping some. And I'll be reporting my feelings and my thoughts along the way. So stay tuned for that shit. Fucking LSD and the CIA. Anyway, so I'm going to be talking about something that I did not mention on the first half of the podcast. And that is how LSD affects your brain and which parts of the brain it affects. So what does dopamine affect, and what is it responsible for? In your brain, dopamine has the huge part of, or huge role in motor functions, motivation, arousal, reward, and reinforcement, as well as lower level functions, including lactating and sexual gratification and nausea. So, just picture that shit. It stimulates that part of the brain. Now, serotonin. Now, this is the happy chemical. I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with that. So, this happy chemical pretty much contributes to happiness and well-being in your whole body and shit. So, it's found in your stomach, bowels, brain, and blood platelets. Now, I don't know if any of you have heard this, but all the emotion comes from your stomach. Look it up. All the emotion comes from your stomach. Where does an emotion start? Think about that. When you get excited, you get a little bit, maybe when you get a little too excited about something that you just can't wait, you might get the bubble guts. Or guys, I know you guys fucking experience this shit. When you're on a date, or girls, when you're on a date, and you're so excited and shit, you're ready to fucking do it. It gives you the Bee Gees and shit, the bubble gum. Staying alive. So, I mean, yeah, it gives you the I just breathe like a fucking heavy ass person. Shit. So, and also, one of the reasons why this, or LSD is not that addictive, is it literally gets out of your fucking system probably half a day after. So, that's always good. But if you take LSD one day and you try to take it the next, you're going to have to take twice as much. Let's say you drop one tab a day before, you chill out, and maybe by midday you want to hit another tab, you're going to have to hit two tabs to get the same resulted effect. So that's probably why it shouldn't be, well, maybe, I mean, it depends. I mean, recreationally speaking, maybe it's not the best drug ever. Because, I mean, it gives you that fucking high, but tomorrow, the next day, if you want to do it, it's just not going to happen. And a lot of people say that one trip is cool enough for, like, maybe 2-3 months. I can say that for myself. It's been pretty good, so, yeah. All right, so before we get into this shit, because we are going to fucking get into this motherfucker right now. Almost getting a fucking Woody just thinking about that shit. Let's take another hit. Oh, if you, this is your first time listening, I always give a shout out to my sponsor. Been here since day one. This Blunt Report Podcasting. You know what? Let me start over. I'm officially naming this Blunt Report Podcast. Remember that shit? Podcast. This Blunt Report Podcast is brought to you by Weed. Smoke it. Do you need an example? Here you go. Oh, yeah. Damn. That rips. I rip and I run. I rhyme and I rip. Fuck. The only reason why I've been fucking coughing a lot is because all that smoke shit does fuck with me a little bit. All the California smoke. Anyway, the CIA and LSD. Let's talk about this shit. Yes, we've all heard about it. Possibly seen a couple shows about it on TV. So, MK Ultra was a super secret project, or Project MK Ultra, by the CIA. So, it was pretty much, how can I fucking put this, man? Human experiments intended to identify and develop drugs and procedures to be used in interrogations in order to weaken the individual and force confessions through mind control. Now, this was the baby of the Office of Scientific Intelligence of the CIA, and in coordination with the United States Army Biological Warfare Laboratories. So there's other code names for this experiment: Project Bluebird and Project Artichoke. Get it? Artichoke? Yeah, I'm high. Now, these dates are kind of bullshit, because it was first started in between 1953 and 1964. And 1967, officially stopped in 1973. Think about all the shit that people could do, all the damage between all that time, and how advanced their interrogation techniques are. Now, this is crazy. I don't know. I'm when it comes to conspiracies, I love them. I cannot prove any of them. I do see both sides of it. The quote-unquote truthful side, and maybe the side that proves that it's not real. But of course, I draw my own conclusions, just like you should. I don't like to shove my opinions down anybody's throat, but I do like it when people observe both sides of the spectrum. So, yeah. I've seen a couple movies where they use these type of techniques to make people talk. One, I believe it was LSD. I'm not sure, but it's still a drug, and it's still kind of MK Ultra-ish. I don't know if you guys remember the movie with Mel Gibson and Julie Roberts. It was It's called Conspiracy Theory. For some reason, it's one of my favorite fucking movies of all time. That movie and The Net with Sandra Bullock were kind of what got me into computers and conspiracies. So in a part of the movie, Mel Gibson gets strapped to a wheelchair by Patrick Stewart. None other than Patrick Stewart. Y'all know Patrick Stewart. Come on. He's fucking Magneto. He was Professor X, and he was in Star Trek. Come on, man. Y'all fucking get with it. So in the movie, they sit this motherfucker down, and they shoot him with quote-unquote gravy. And he kept saying, oh, shit, no, not the gravy, not the gravy. So it makes him trip out, spaz the fuck out. And that's when he fucking goes ham and he almost kills everybody there and shit. So, we all seen it. Some sort of mind control. And that's pretty fucked up, honestly. Not only that, all this shit happened in a lot of places where you would not even think that shit was going down like that. So, the CIA used to test U.S. and Canadian citizens. Unbeknownst to them, they didn't know shit. So, there was a bunch of methods to manipulate people or subjects into, I guess, answering questions that you would normally not fucking get. Now, mind you, in these times, the whole thing about Russian spies and shit, and it was just a whole fucking, it was a mind fuck of shit going on from 1963 to 1964 and then 75. Y'all, we saw a lot of shit. I'm not even going to fucking get into it because, one, I'm not a historian. I don't know a lot of shit, but the Vietnam War was in that bitch. A lot of shit. So this time also saw the assassination of Kennedy. All that bullshit, Cuban Missile Crisis, all that shit. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's spies everywhere. You don't even fucking know it. Your neighbor could be a goddamn spy for all you know. You don't know. And I guess that was more of a mass paranoia, you know, all that shit. And I could understand it, but still the ways to torture people and get answers out of people was kind of fucked up. So yeah, the motherfuckers would dose their subjects with fucking high doses of LSD. Electroshock therapy, other chemicals, sensory deprivation, which is fucked up. Because if you don't know what to expect from sensory deprivation, then it could really, I'm pretty sure it could fucking make you go insane. Verbal abuse and also sexual abuse as along with other forms of torture. That's just fucked. I mean, I for one, really just I'm not with any of that shit, man. I mean, fuck, when people to get answers out of them is fucking crazy. But I will say this. I'm sure there's times where these kind of methods are useful and are needed. Let's say, for instance, somebody tries to do some weird shit here, you know, so another, you know, violence against the U.S. and shit, and then all of a sudden, you know, you catch this motherfucker, and you know there's a big fucking thing coming. Well, this could be useful in that, getting answers. It sucks, but hey, you fucked up. So, but this is not always the best form of interrogation. I'm sure there's been people that have been confused for terrorists that have been through all this bullshit for no fucking reason. And I honestly think that people that run this shit love to fucking watch this shit go down. They probably get a fucking boner and nut in their goddamn pants and shit probably because of this. I wouldn't doubt it, honestly. Because some people fucking masochists, they love to watch some crazy shit like that. So, I want to take another fucking hit. Yes, I will pause in the middle of my goddamn podcast to take a hit. Take a hit and see what's up, eh? Take that shit to the dome, Vato. What it do, homie? What's up? Sugar, sugar, you get so fly. That's right. Smoke dog, baby. Remember that shit? Y'all know what the fuck that is. Anyway, so MK Ultra was hugely fucking broad. And I say this fucking very lightly. Research was done in more than 80 institutions, including colleges, universities, prisons, pharmaceutical companies, hospitals, etc. So you could be fucking going into a hospital in 1953 or 54 through 75. And going in there for a BD check or some shit or whatever the fuck it is. And you hear somebody fucking screaming, oh, fuck, they're killing me. Help. Blah, blah, blah. All that shit, right? And you're thinking, well, that's kind of normal for a hospital. You know, some people are suicidal, some people are schizophrenic and stop taking their meds. I've seen that because the times that I've been in the hospital, or not in the hospital, but at a hospital, I've seen this before. So, but how many times do people just start going, oh, shit, ah, fuck, the CIA or the fucking government is after me, Men in Black, motherfucking shit, ah, all that. Imagine all that shit. And you're like, man, what the fuck is this? Fucking in here to get some condoms and shit from Planned Parenthood. Oh, wait, I'm pretty sure they didn't have Planned Parenthood back in the day. I'm trying to get my rash cream and shit. This motherfucker's acting crazy. What the fuck? And all of a sudden, you hear it again. You know, how the fuck do you know that subject that you heard screaming was not somebody that was being tortured or experimented on by the CIA? That's crazy. Now, that being said, there's a big, huge chance that when they supposedly, quote unquote, and I'm doing air quotes right here, stopped this 1975, yo, these motherfuckers knew because the CIA wasn't really like, eh, was just like, I don't give a fuck, I'm CIA, I'm gonna do what the fuck I want, right? But now, you think that, shit, that's probably still happening right now in a different way. And they may be still using LSD. Who fucking knows? Who fucking knows? But that's not fucking cool at all, man. It's not cool at all, man. Okay, baby? So, I guess I don't know how the fuck people got hip to this, but they started calling out the CIA in 1975. So, Church Committee, the United States Congress, and Gerald Ford's United States President's Commission on CIA Activities within the United States, also known as the Rockefeller Commission, investigated all this bullshit. And pretty much, check this shit out. When the CIA Director Richard Helms got word of this, he said, burn all the motherfucking documents, burn all the papers, do all that shit. But this motherfucker did that before this shit happened in 1973. So he already fucking knew that all that shit was going down. He saw that shit coming. He said, burn all that bitch. That's it. We're shutting it down. On paper, we're shutting this shit down. On paper. Come on, y'all. That's kind of, I mean, if this shit was happening in the 50s, imagine all the bullshit that's happening now. Crazy shit, huh? Now, this is a little side note and a little trippy-ass fucking info right here. So, there was not a lot of documents because they fucking burned all that bullshit, right? But there was some surviving documents, and the surviving documents were released in July of 2001. So, in July of 2018, more declassified documents came to light, including a letter to an unidentified doctor. This is trippy. And discussing his work on six dogs, actual dogs, that's my stomach, fucking hungry. Six dogs made to run, turn, and stop via remote control and brain implants. And we're talking about official CIA documents. You know what's funny? Is that when there's, as I stated before in the first half of this podcast, there are tons and tons and tons of declassified documents from the CIA, FBI, all that bullshit. All you got to do is do a little digging. Do a little digging. And you know what? Really, do it for yourself. Just look up CIA declassified documents or FBI library or shit like that, and you will find a fucking huge array of weird fucking documents, including one about Sasquatch. I seen that shit. Squatch. So, yeah. If they had that type of technology back then, imagine what they have now. And imagine that people that are radicals and all that shit, maybe somebody implants some fucking bullshit in their brain that makes them go wild and crazy. Because I guess the world needs fucking chaos. You know? You can't have good without bad. That's for damn sure. So this is pretty crazy. An author by the name of Stephen Kinzer went on to say that the CIA project was a continuation of similar work that started in the World War II era in the Japanese facilities and Nazi concentration camps on subduing the minds of humans. So MK Ultra started using mescaline as a drug to try to control subjects, and this was a practice. Check this out. Practice that Nazi doctors had begun in the Chow concentration camp. I'm probably fucking butchering the shit out of it. So Mr. Kinzer states that this is pretty much the Nazi agenda continuing. So the CIA pretty much recruited Nazi torturers to keep experimenting on these subjects. And the Nazis were brought to Fort Detrick in Maryland to pretty much overlook and instruct CIA officers on the methods of torture and also the uses of sarin gas. If you guys know about sarin gas, that's just pretty fucked. It's a fucking nerve agent. So you could pretty much die in literally 10 minutes if you inhale that shit. And it has no smell, no color. Pretty fucking dangerous. Now, as I stated before, the main goal for this is to pretty much use mind control against the Soviets, Chinese, and North Koreans that were pretty much U.S. prisoners of war during the Korean War. So they wanted to use these techniques because they were interested in manipulating foreign leaders with such techniques. So they had a plan to literally fucking dose Fidel Castro, and they would dose people without their consent, and they would just fucking trip them the fuck out. Now, they were really trying to get, during the Cold War, Soviet spies to, cough up the goods and, all that bullshit. I could see where this shit would literally fucking mind fuck somebody to hell. You won't come back from that fucking shit. So, yeah, man, this is fucking nuts, right? Right? So, let's talk about CIA and LSD. They focused on LSD, which pretty much dominated. In the beginning, they focused on LSD, and then it dominated pretty much the program. So, of course, again, they wanted to see if the Soviet spies could pretty much give up all their shit and blah, 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 or any enemy for that matter. So, there was a couple fucking projects within that project and operations. And they were pretty fucking crazy. They would literally dose mental patients, drug addicts, sex workers, prisoners, people who kind of couldn't fight back, quote unquote, as they put it. There's one patient that they fucked with, and they literally dosed him for 174 days. This happened in Kentucky. I don't have all the information, but that's fucked up. If it's true, that's fucked up. So these motherfuckers also dosed CIA members of the military, because they suspected them of being on the other side or being spies. So they really thought that these fucking drugs would bring out deep confessions. And I don't think that even fucking worked. If it did, holy shit. And what tripped me out too was, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this show. It is called The Umbrella Academy. Now, I don't want to spoil it, but in one of the episodes, they catch one of the girls that has powers. She has extraordinary powers, and they think, well, they're in the 1963, 64, when Kennedy was assassinated, and they think that this chick is a Russian spy, because she fucking literally made somebody fucking fly 6 feet, 7 feet in the air. So they catch this girl, and they dose her with LSD, and they try to get all the information from her. She's well educated, but she's not Russian. She knows Russian. So as she's being dosed with LSD, this guy talks to her in Russian, and she fucking responds. And that's when they fucking run with it. They think she's a fucking spy. Anyway, So a lot of the times, a lot of these subjects were dosed without their consent. That was a direct violation of the Nuremberg Code. Now, this is a code or a code of ethics or principles for human experimentation that was created of the Nuremberg trials at the end of the Second World War. I don't want to get into it. That sounds fucked up. But I guess there's a code of ethics on how to dose prisoners and shit like that. Whatever. They didn't follow that, which is doesn't surprise me. A lot of deaths resulted as the experiments kept fucking being conducted and shit. Heroin addicts were pretty much bribed into taking LSD. They were bribed with more heroin. So that's pretty fucked up to prey on the weakness of other people. Just especially drugs, man. That's fucked up. So there was a study that was financed by the CIA at the Menlo Park Veterans Hospital. People were dosed with that shit. I can only imagine, man, for real. And honestly, this is pretty fucked up because LSD was given to people randomly without telling them, and they would have fucked up ass trips. This is kind of a fucked up thing now. Now we're getting a little deeper here. So these motherfuckers drugged this doesn't say who it was, what the name is, but they drugged a CIA operative in his morning coffee. They fucking dosed him without telling him. He became psychotic and started running across all Washington stating that there was monsters in every car that were passing him by. So these experiments kept happening. Now an army chemist who had never taken LSD was covertly dosed by his CIA supervisors, which is pretty fucked up, by the way. 9 days later, he jumped to his death out of a 13th-story window in a New York City hotel room because of the deep depression that the drug brought on. Yeah, this is the crazy part. Mr. Olson had been wanting to talk to his superiors about the ethical side and of this experiment, and he was doubting that it was kind of morally, you know, right. He was doubting that very, very much. And he really just asked him, you know what, I'm going to resign. That's it. We're done. Deuces. That right there is fucked up. Because you don't know if this motherfucking shit happened because he wanted to resign. We all know if you get into deep, 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 deep shit and you all of a sudden abruptly quit, that's a big no-no. That goes for the mafia. Goes for a lot of shit. A lot of criminal shit. I guess I'm not saying it's criminal. Whatever. All the fucking bad shit, you know, people do. And also on the government side. You know too much. That's it. There's, look at Epstein. Shit. Now, here's the kicker. I know we talked about Timothy Leary a little bit. He was into a whole LSD. He was an advocate. It is said that he oversaw a couple of experiments at, I don't know if the UCLA hospital, but he oversaw some experiments that the CIA asked him to do. So if that's true, I don't want to really get into that shit too much. If that's true, that's fucked up, really, because he was pretty much a big, huge part of LSD, just like Terrence McKenna, just like Ram Dass, things of that nature. So, yeah, that's pretty fucked up, if that's fucking true. You know, we haven't taken a fucking hit in quite a bit. Let me take that shit. Oh, yeah. Drink some coffee, y'all. Breakfast O-Champs. Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's get away from all that bullshit into microdosing. What is microdosing? And why should you possibly try it? Let's talk about that shit. So microdosing It is a tech to study how a drug affects the human body through low doses, so low that they are not likely to produce any effects, but high enough to produce a response in your cells. So it's for any drug from what I have read. So a lot of application developers, a lot of coders, a lot of people that are behind Facebook, a lot of people that are behind Microsoft, Apple, Google, some of the biggest technical minds out there are microdosing, I believe cannabis, I believe magic mushrooms or psilocybin, LSD, sometimes ecstasy, but in minimal doses. Now, this really gives these developers, and I believe anybody who microdoses, a little bit more of an edge, because you're more in the zone, you're more productive, you're more attentive, you're more focused, but along that, you're more happy. And that's essentially one of the key ingredients to working. Even though you don't fucking want to work today, you got to try to, you know, adjust your attitude, be a little more happy, because that's going to change your whole fucking day. And that's what microdosing does. A lot of the times you'll get a heightened sense of awareness, not too crazy where you're going to feel it, but enough where you're like, oh shit, I feel good. I'm in the zone today. We all have those days where you're in the fucking zone. You're in there. You're feeling good. Even though bullshit is happening around your job, you're not even sweating it. You're like, whatever. Those are the good days. And when you're on that good fucking, on that good train, on that groovy train and shit, you get more focused. You're more into your work. You can think about that shit. Imagine if you have to figure out a fucking equation. You're like, shit, man, I'm stuck in this fucking equation. Some sort of programming language issue, or even a mechanic or an artist, whatever the fuck, to help you problem solve. You're like, fuck, I can't smoke, bud. And he's just gonna fucking want to be chilling and shit. Like, all right, cool, fuck it, let's drop some fucking LSD. The average microdose for LSD is 10 to 30 micrograms. A whole trip is one tab, which is 100 micrograms, which I think after 25 micrograms, or I'm sorry, after 30 micrograms, you'll probably definitely feel something. Now, the average dose that I heard was, I believe, half a tab, which would be 50 micrograms. Depending on how experienced you are with psychedelics, that's going to make a huge difference. That's going to make an enormous difference. Some people freak out at 5. Some people just not even fucking feel it at 5. Some people freak the fuck out at 1, which is pretty fucking crazy. I took 1, so it shouldn't be that bad. Now, peep this. LSD microdosing could be compared to the movie of Limitless, or have that limitless effect. Don't know if any of you have seen that movie. That movie with Bradley Cooper, where he takes a pill and his fucking brain just upgrades fucking like 30 times fold or some shit like that. Now, there's a scene in the movie where this fool, I think he's getting mugged or attacked or some shit, and this fool remembers all the fucking YouTube videos he saw on self-defense, and he fucking based it off of there, and he fucked these fools up. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to have the same effect, but I could tell you this. One huge effect that it has had on me is the memory part. Now, a lot of the times, I don't struggle, but I just have to work a lot harder to remember stuff. Now, the reason why I'm not using negative language, because that's just my new thing, or it's been for a while, but I'm trying to put it more into practice. Anyway, I need to go ahead and work harder at remembering stuff. So now that I'm inputting stuff at work and all that, I can remember stuff. Like, oh yeah, this and that. And just to check myself, I double check my work, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I was right. Any little thing, anything, you know, to remember. Now, I'm not telling you I have a fucking the greatest memory, and I've only been fucking with LSD maybe for a month or so. But I have seen a big improvement. A big, big improvement. So, a lot of these people in Silicon Valley use it to try to simulate that effect. Now, also, there are a lot of things that come with microdosing. Of course, there's a lot of doubts. Psychedelics and drugs in general are still a little baby industry. Why? Because they're illegal. Not we, but society hasn't been able to test it. And the test that they do run on any psychedelic or natural healing plant or substance, it is very, you know, limited. And of course, it's sometimes dismissed. So we all know how that fucking goes. But there's still a lot of hope. Still a huge amount of hope for microdosing substances that are natural and are beneficial to your mind, body, and soul. So don't let anybody fool you. Guaranteed, almost everybody in Silicon Valley is doing this because they know the huge, huge, enormous benefits of microdosing. So some of the greatest minds are microdosing as we speak and getting that creative edge. Now, I'm not saying that you should do it for that. But if you feel like you've come to a wall and your creative side, whatever it is, you know, whatever it you're using your creative side for, art, writing, work, whatever. Maybe now that you've hit a wall and your mood kind of sucks and your every emotion is kind of like dragging on the ground, like, fuck, I don't want to do this, fuck this shit. Maybe you should consider microdosing LSD or microdosing magic mushrooms or microdosing cannabis or something of that nature. Microdosing where you're not going to feel it, but the effects are going to be very positive. So maybe try to consider that. It's a good idea. Take it from me, from a person that was struggling so much with all this bullshit. And of course, it's always going to be not a battle, but an issue. You're going to have to take care of your emotions. That's always going to be there. That's we lead by our emotions sometimes, and that's not really good. Sometimes it's better to lead with your instinct, with that deeper knowledge, deeper self, instead of, you know, getting mad at all this shit right away. Try to control yourself. And if you feel like you're having a hard time, you don't want to go to the fucking doctor, you don't want to go to a psychiatrist, well, maybe you might consider microdosing. Because me, personally, I don't like having fucking 30 pills shoved down my throat. Because the minute I sit down and I explain to the doctor, I'm depressed, or, you know, and I'm talking about in general here. The minute you sit down and say, doctor, I'm depressed. Doctor, I have a lot of anxiety. You know, my life isn't where it's at right now. I don't know, you know, where to turn to. Don't even trip here. Eat this shit right here. Drink this shit. Take this pill. It'll fucking make you feel way better. Cool. Doctor, I'm back. Or he tells you, you know what, come back in 2 weeks. Fuck yeah, doctor, I'm feeling really good. This is and that, blah, blah. This is awesome. So he goes home like, fuck it. I feel really good. I don't need these pills anymore. What happens? The depression gets 30, 40, 50 times worse. That's when people start to commit suicide. That's when people start, like, fuck the whole world and I don't want to live anymore. And that's just not acceptable. Really. All these substances that are illegal, quote unquote, air quotes, that are fucking illegal. Think about it. None of the big pharmaceutical companies, nobody that keeps you sick, there you go, is going to benefit from this. It's not. And if for some reason they do, just like cannabis, they're going to put their fucking dirty ass hands all over that shit. Because the cannabis industry has been fucking taken over by a lot of people. Their fucking filthy, dirty ass hands and all that bullshit. Big pharmaceutical companies have a big hand in the most successful cannabis companies. If you guys don't think that's fucking true, well, shit. Do a little research. Trust. And with all those genetically modified, genetically engineered seeds for everything, even cannabis, it's a big possibility that the cannabis you're smoking on right now is so super dank and sticky, has been genetically modified by Monsanto. Look up that episode. Anyway, so, microdosing. Should you do it? Should you not do it? That is up to you. Use your better judgment. And you will find the answers. Just don't fucking overdo it and take 30 fucking tabs and then have the fucking trip of your lifetime and shit. For real. So, yeah. Also, before I even fucking finish this fucking podcast, how the fuck can I forget Terrence McKenna? Terrence McKenna, holy shit, that motherfucker was a psychonaut. Psychonaut. He was a mystic, lecturer, author, and a huge advocate for naturally occurring psychedelic plants. Now this guy, he would fucking take some mighty, mighty heroic doses. Now he did a lot of shit, but check this out. He proposed predicting the end of time and a transition of consciousness in the year 2012. That's crazy, right? And this was connected to the Mayan calendar and is credited to one of the factors leading to the widespread beliefs of the 2012, eschatology. What is that? Well, we all remember the 2012 and the whole, fuck, the end of times and the Mayan calendar. Well, he didn't spread it out like that. Well, people fucking took it like that, ran with it, and that was it. They formed their own conclusions, as they should, but damn. It wasn't to be taken like that. So, you know how it is. Mr. McKenna was born November 16th, 1946 in Paonia, Colorado, and he died in April 3rd, 2000 at 53 years old. That's too fucking young, man. San Rafael, California. He is most noted for the archaic revival, Food of the Gods, The Invisible Landscape, Psilocybin, Magic Mushrooms Grower's Guide, and True Hallucinations, which I believe took off after the whole, they discovered psilocybin issue. Now, not that they discovered it, you know, they first came upon it. So, he went to UC Berkeley, University of Berkeley, and was accepted to Tusman Experimental College. So he started fucking doing some crazy shit. Studying shamanism, he went to Nepal, and he was interested in hallucinogenic shamanism. She can all fucking get that spirit, fucking journey, travel, whatever all that shit is. During that time, in Tibet, he picked up the language, and also started smuggling hashish. And one day he got fucking popped by U.S. Customs, but nothing happened. He's over here and shit. Started wandering Asia, viewing ruins and all that bullshit. And he went to the Colombian Amazon in search of a plant called ucuje. So a plant that contains DMT when prepared properly. So instead of the ucuje, they found fields of gigantic, gigantic fucking psilocybin cubensis, which is one of my favorites, magic mushrooms. That is fucking pretty interesting. So, yeah, man, this motherfucker, Terrence McKenna is the 90s fucking Timothy Leary. And I haven't done a lot of reading into his stuff, but his stuff is fucking nuts. His stuff is very, very nice. I love it. So, yeah, there we have it. All right. Let's get down to fucking brass tacks. I am going to drop half a tab on this Blunt Report podcast. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on to your butts. Jurassic Park and all that shit. All right. So before I begin, again, please, this is only for entertainment purposes. If you are going to Look into microdosing, please, 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 please. Do your research first. Always have a spotter. Do low doses. And remember, please, get your acid LSD from a good source. Because sometimes when you take that shit, it's not acid. It's some fucking experimental chemical that they're passing out or making it seem like it's acid. So please be careful. There's acid testing kits, ladies and gentlemen. Please get that. I got my shit from a chemist. A chemist that I fucking for a long time already. So this motherfucker goes way back to fucking whatever. Anyway, way back in the days. So please, if you are able to get your hand, if you're going to buy this shit off of the deep web, off of the black market, yo, please get yourself a fucking testing kit. Because if not, you're going to end up having a fucked up trip and possibly even never fucking come back from that trip. So please, 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 when it comes to your mind, don't fuck with it. Please do not fuck with it. Just take care of your mind. And if you're going to do this, do it the right way. That being said, and I got the gel tabs. I didn't know what the fuck the difference between the gel tabs and the paper tabs are, but I do now. I do now. And these are way, way fucking better. I mean, seriously, they're insanely fucking, they're stable. They are water soluble, but they're, I just feel like they're more stable. They're, you know, it's mixed around better because acid is pretty much fucking liquid. You hear that? Yeah, that's a little tab right there. That's right. I'm gonna cut that shit in half. All right. Added that shit out the fucking bag. All right. To your health. May I be guided and healed. My intention is to heal my anxiety, heal my depression, heal my innermost fucked up feelings. Universe, whatever great power in the sky, whatever energy that's positive, guide me, heal me. Thank you. Under the tongue. What I just did there, I gave myself a positive vibe. Positive, you know, affirmation. Because my end goal here, I still have it under the tongue, don't need a trip. My goal here is to heal from all the bullshit, all the fucking trauma that I had in my life. Just go with it. So, I can feel that shit melting under my tongue. I'll go ahead and pause this shit right here. And I'll come back. See how I fucking feel. That's right, baby. Blunt report. And remember, y'all, acid is not supposed to taste like anything. So, if that shit tastes weird, All right. Holy shit. All right. It's been an hour. Daddy took half a tab and he's fucking feeling fantastic. No visuals. Daddy's going to take the rest of this tab. It's going to be a 12-hour trip and shit. So pack your bags. Pack lightly. It's fucking bad. I fucking love it. The energy that I feel right now is just fantastic. Now, I did take more than is recommended, of course, but notice how I'm still lucid. Notice how I'm still able to speak. And I think a little more calmer now. Sometimes when I speak, I feel very anxious. I feel like everybody's just, I don't know. It feels like I'm just overthinking things too much. I feel very, sometimes very insecure about my shit. This is me, and this is the LSD, you know, kicking in and shit, but I just feel like I over fucking think shit sometimes. And when I have a clear head, I'm a lot smoother in my talking, a lot better in transitioning over to different shit that I need to talk to, as opposed to, you know, all the shit that I fucking blab, 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 blab all about and shit. But LSD is very efficient tool, not only in anxiety and depression, but it literally brings attention to all this shit that, oh, personally for me, that I've been, you know, carrying around, carrying along, all the baggage, all the trauma and all the bullshit. All that shit aside, this shit is fun as fuck. So, yeah, remember, when you're trying to microdose, please, please be very careful. Be very careful. Always know where your shit's coming from. Always know where your LSD is being, at least manufactured. And if you don't know, now you know. I'm just kidding. If you don't know, buy yourself a kit. I'm pretty sure a lot of people listening that have tried this shit is, you know, been some way or another maybe gifted to you. Maybe they got it from the black market. Maybe said, trust me, it's all good. Just be careful. Buy yourself a testing kit. Do whatever you got to do to keep your psyche, I guess, healthy. Don't have a bad trip. But I can feel the fucking second piece of my tongue, under my tongue. So my conclusion to this is, the reason for this podcast was for self-improvement, not just for myself, but for everybody else. We all could use improvement, no matter what. Some of us may need different substances to do that. Because that's just the way sometimes we're wired. We try and we try and we try and we fucking try so hard. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. And if you feel like there's another outlet that can give you a little bit more freedom, a little bit more, I guess, room to be you, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And I've taken this in the microdose, and it's very helpful. Very insightful. I love it. So if you guys want to consider something, consider this. Consider psychedelic, low dose, or if you want to have a breakthrough, high dose, whatever it is. Just take care of your mind. Take care of your body. Nobody else will do it but you. Real talk. This is on my tongue. Yes, we are live. We are fucking live. Just dropped a whole fucking tab of acid. LSD. And I'm feeling quite good. I know I'm in for the long haul. It's like going to be about a 12-hour trip. So. But I have 2 days off. So kiss my ass. Really. This is incredible. If you guys want to consider something, please consider this. Consider LSD. Consider something. But I'm glad I could share this with y'all, really. This has been amazing, really. It's still, and the effects linger, like around two weeks, 3 weeks, around there. So my mission with this is to continue microdosing on a level that I could, you know, that I could function properly. Right now, I mean, I don't feel bad. I feel real good. You know, I feel like I just ate one shroom. It's kind of similar to that, but the effects are different. I don't see any visuals. My body feels very, very light. It feels good, not in a sexual way, but it feels really good, like nice. Like the tension in my body has been released, and the sense of anxiety is gone. The sense of, fuck, I'm not doing shit with my life. Different things. But under that, I'm going to let y'all know this is the real deal. This is the real feeling behind all this. Is really connected with everything. Connected. I feel connected to every fucking single thing. Remember that. Drugs, psychedelics, weed, cannabis, all that shit is not there for you to use as a crutch. All those things are there to show you that this is your true self, happiness from within, not from any exterior pleasure, but something that's always been inside you. Happiness has always been inside you. No matter what, it's always there. But we let ourselves go with all the bullshit We let ourselves go. We follow the white rabbit, if you want to call it that. We start getting mad. It kind of spirals into a snowball effect. Ladies and gentlemen, life's too short. Yo, live it. Love it. Celebrate it with y'all. With your loved ones. Celebrate. Do whatever the fuck you need to do now. So that later on in your life, you'll fucking look back and say, wow, I fucking did that. Yes, I'm satisfied. Don't be that person that's going to wake up 30 years down the line. It's going to say, fuck. They're going to, that kind of person is going to be, God, please just give me one more second chance. I know that. So if you want to do something with your life now, do it now. If you want to tell that person you love them, tell them now. Take a risk. Take a chance. Laugh. Love. Do all that shit. Do everything you need to do in your life that makes you happy. And once you do that, I guarantee your life will be 100% turned around. But know this, that this is, life is not a fucking easy ride. It's not. What makes it easier is the way you think and how positive you are towards all this shit in life. Real talk. Do something with your life, y'all. For real. I love all y'all, for real. And even if it sounds fucking LSD-ish, I always say, love all y'all, for real. Love each other. Support each other. For real. Be like children. You know how kids are? They're always happy. They're always. We can learn a lot from these kids. If you have kids around you, if you have nephews, look how happy they are for just because. That's what we lose when we grow up. We got to go back to that. Don't talk. I am Cannibal, the Cannabis Animal, back at it again, baby. This was the LSD episode of the Blunt Report Podcast. Stay tuned for some new shit. We got a lot of shit coming up. Our Halloween special is coming up. We got listener stories that I'm just about to record. Of course, not right now, but I'm about to record in the next couple weeks, and hopefully, I'm hoping that we get some sort of maybe a psychic medium or a ghost hunter on the show. You know, respectfully, of course. So, tune into all that shit. Please rate me on Apple Podcast. If you want to comment, whatever you want to do, suggest. Anything that you think that could improve this podcast, please. I'm all ears. So, thank you guys for real. Really appreciate all the support you guys give me. Even if it's just fucking 10 minutes of listening to my bullshit. You know, hey, ever listen to the Blunt Report podcast? Oh, shit, yeah, one time. That's all I need, baby. For real. Love each other. Take care of each other. Until the next episode of the Blunt Report podcast, baby. Cannibal. That's right.